No matter how many degrees you had in theology, Reverend Doctor, Apostle, Bishop, Archbishop, if you are a fornicator, you are a liar, you are an extortioner, you are a murderer, you are an unforgiver, you are among those that stand at the pulpit and curse the children of God, you are an unbeliever. No, there are pastors that delight in cursing people. You know, they are witches. They are not normal people. No true servant of God will curse anybody, no matter what the level of provocation is. Any man of God that curses anybody because you offend him does not have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will restrain you from doing certain things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm a Christian. And I have been baptized. Amen. That I still find myself doing some of these things that I do. Apostle Paul met people like you. Can we read Acts chapter 19? From verse 1. Let's read Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollo was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper courts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, certain believers, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, that is where I am going. Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now listen, church. He passed and he saw a group of people that were supposedly believers. Listen to this. If you are hearing me for the first time, it's important. How many people want to go to heaven here? Put down your hand. Amen. How many people want to go to hell? Put up your hand. Okay. How many people don't want to go to either hell or heaven? Heaven, you know one go. Hell, you know one go. Can I see your hand up? So everybody wants to go to heaven. Of course, that is why you are here. You must understand why Jesus Christ said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So your problem is your flesh. Your spirit man wants to go to heaven. Your spirit man wants, that is what Apostle Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 7, the whole of that chapter. He was talking about the wretchedness of man. How that something in you wants to do good, but another thing, instead of doing that good, another thing will overtake you and you find yourself doing something contrary to what you had wished to do. How many times after standing up from that woman, you start to cry? How many times after you've done something bad, you will begin to hate yourself? So inside of you, there is something that hates to do that evil thing, but you don't have the ability to stop it. That is why this is a group of people Apostle Paul saw. They appear like believers, but something about them showed that they have not yet received the Holy Ghost. And yet they were believers. So if they have not received the Holy Ghost, and then it means they are carrying Bible. They are behaving the way they are behaving, I mean to say. They are behaving the way they are behaving. Whatever way. Maybe, like I have once spoken here, he saw people from Christ Embassy. Oh, I don't want to call name again. Please forgive me. It will take time for me to mature. Amen. Why I mention their name is because they are the one that teach. It doesn't matter. Come anyhow. God is a good God. Maybe he saw them dressed like prostitutes, but speaking in tongue on the way I'm going. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Just say it. I am who I am. I am who God say I am. Just say it and you will become it. That's what they teach them. So every day they are confessing one thing or the other. And they give them what to confess in a rhapsody of reality. Praise the Lord. And then they are dressed like prostitutes on the way. Just saying it. Here, Mama Soto, say it. And Apostle Paul saw these believers say, wait, confess. Have you received? Why will he ask that type of question? He saw them. He knew something was wrong with the foundation of their faith. If you are a Christian, proudly displaying your Christian faith, and yet living contrary to what the Christian faith expects of you, there is something wrong with your foundation. The foundation of your faith is faulty. And that's why he asked them, come, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because if you receive the Holy Ghost, you can't act like that. The answer showed it. Come, what is the Holy Ghost? We don't even know what is Holy Ghost. Now, you may not be saying it that we don't know what is Holy Ghost, but the way you live your life shows you don't know what is the Holy Ghost. You can't have the Holy Ghost and act the way some of us act and claim to be Christians. And so, he asked, come, when I don't know Holy Ghost, wait. Then, unto what then were you baptized? What type of baptism did you do? Amen. And then everyone began to tell them, they began to tell him about that big denomination, that big man of God that baptized them. What are you saying? I am redeemed. So that when you mention the name of your church, then we will know. We expect that since you were baptized in redeem, then it means you are correct. Baba Adeboye cannot be wrong. Some of them, they are fast to say, I am Catholic. I baptize Catholic. Ah! They are the largest church. The most holy man on earth is Catholic. Ah! So I should be right. Then the Pentecostals want to tell you, fast, I am Assemblies of God. Don't you know Assemblies of God? They are the firebrand of Pentecostalism. Then, the Juggernauts, who know the word more than anybody, because they go deeper than everybody. I am deeper alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So many of you are here. Listen, church. Apostle Paul began to tell them, to preach to them. Hallelujah. About who Jesus is. Unto what then were you baptized? Because your baptism, amen. Hallelujah. Determines where you will be positioned spiritually. If you have been baptized through your church according to your denominational church. Amen. I was listening to Ashimolo. And he was talking about the need for the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he was defining the Holy Ghost. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. And he is the third person. And then he was busy separating the three and explaining who the three are and how the three of them jam together to be unity. One. Three persons in one. Praise God. And he was teaching, therefore, the thousands of people gathered there with biro and paper, jotting down that error to remember that error. It's error. Nothing substantiate that in the Bible. Oh, sorry, I am very, very sorry. If you are coming here for the first time, please forgive me if I mention the name of the man of God you respect so much. I am very, very sorry. Praise God. Please, if I speak against your church, please forgive me. I'm exercising two liberties. There is the liberty of the spirit, and there is the freedom of speech. The Constitution of Nigeria permits me to speak. But I must not malign anybody. I must not defame anybody. So whatever I am saying, I must substantiate it. If not, they can also take me to court and sue me. Ashimolo, you are wrong. Praise the Lord. So if he feels offended by that, then he will take me to court. Then I will go before the judge with my Bible. Then he will come with his Bible. And what will tell him if the judge is a Muslim? You know why I say so? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was one time in Ikoyi prison when I was locked up there. That's where I got Christ, and I became the pastor of that church there. And then they were planning to drive away, to stop inter-message believers from coming to preach to us, but I had caught the message. Then they were trying to use a prison officer who was also a pastor then of Powerline here. And then he was a senior officer, but he was a pastor. He was one of the pastors coming to us. So the denominations gang up to stop those people from coming. Then the man came one day and then spoke. Then I stood up and I told them that in Nigeria, don't think because we are inside the prison yard, we don't have freedom of religion. We are to decide who should come. Or gang officers, stop that. Come and talk your own and go. When he noticed they could not use us inside, then they went and wrote a letter to the headquarters, sent a letter to the prison yard, that there is a group in the church, in the prison there, that is causing confusion. And you know, when prisoners hear riot problem, they are afraid. So they called the religious leaders, the prisoners. I was pastor of the Protestant church. They called the pastor of Catholic. They called the pastor of Olumba. They called the pastor of, we are about four of us, different the group, Christian group, before the controller of prison in the prison yard there. And then he said, there's a letter before me here. That, and the man, a Muslim, that there's a group here, among you Christian group here, that is causing confusion. There's a letter from the headquarters that he should investigate. He said, who is the person, which group are causing this problem? I said, excuse me, sir, I know the group. He said, hey, which group? I said, it's Olumba. He said, why? What is this? The Olumba man said, what are you saying? Which confusion are we causing? The man said, what is confusion is he causing? I say, he is saying, they are saying, teaching us here, that man in Calabar, he is God. The man say, ha? Praise the Lord. So that man was warned that he should stop preaching that inside the prison. But I knew where they were going, and we didn't send a letter for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So woe betide anybody that will carry me to court and they judge in a Muslim. When I stand there, they are saying that God is three. I say God is one. That's why they brought me before you. The Muslim judge will look now. Oh, God now one now. But if the judge now Catholic, I am finished. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please forgive me if I mention your church. If I don't speak like this, I won't catch your attention. I'm speaking like this purposely, deliberately, so that you will hear, your ear will open to hear what I want to say. If not, you will think I'm speaking like all other men of God preaching now. So I have to say it. When I hit you below the belt, you will wake up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundation of our faith, it begins from which baptism did you do? Which baptism? Infant baptism, Abby, it is wrong. Praise the Lord. Sprinkling water on you and say baptism, Abi, it is wrong. It will not convert you. Infant baptism cannot convert you. Many of you are drunker, armed robber. You were baptized when you were small. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, church. Listen, church. Baptism, how you should do it, is in the Bible. Let's go back to it again. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37, 38. Praise the Lord. Today, I am Evangelist Moses. I'm not prophesying, I'm not prophet. You will prophesy today. I will evangelize. You'll prophesy. Igbo is not here. Verse 36. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel to everyone. And he concluded, I read this scripture last week, Friday. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He preached to them, verse 37. Then, verse 37. Now, when they heard this message of who Jesus is, they were pricked in their hearts. They were convinced and convicted. And godly sorrow that worketh repentance, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So, let's go to the foundation now. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, the first thing you should do is what? Say it again. That is why I say infant baptism is wrong. Because that child has not yet repented. You may baptize in the name of the Father and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in bride assembly here. If you have not yet repented, if you did not repent before going into that water, your foundation is wrong. It starts with repentance. It is that feeling you have, that conviction you have, that makes you repent. Repent is total turn around. to realize that the life I was living is wrong. Now I've decided I want to live a life pleasing before God. And you say it and God is seeing your heart that you mean it. You hate the useless life you were living. And you have found a way of escape through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, repent. When it is only when you repent, then you go for water baptism and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the... What did he say? In the name of what? Of the Lord Jesus. For what? Say it again. So water baptism is for what? It's for your sins to be remitted. You see how important that doctrine is. That's the doctrine of justification. Whatever sin you have ever committed in your life, until that day you enter that water with a repentant heart, it is, as you come out of that water, it is washed away. You stand before God as if you have never sinned before. Justified. It is only then you should go for deliverance from demon husband, demon wife. From a shrine, from a deity, from a covenant, from a curse. From a sickness that refused to go. Because all that came upon you because you were not a believer. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has not spoken for you. For Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, he said, we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Now, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1 first. Let's read it from verse 9 to the end. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Because he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It simply means you have not received the message. Verse 12. Praise God. The next verse, please. Chapter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Then he added, and if any man sin, people don't understand this side. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I'm now speaking for any reason you find yourself as a believer and you fall into any sin. You don't condemn yourself and finish yourself. This is for anybody here that has backslidden and it looks as if you are backslidden so much until God cannot receive you again. I can tell you something. Praise the Lord. Samson was given a second chance. But more importantly, amen, there is a scripture in Hebrew chapter 2, for you to know why God left eternity and came to time, came in human flesh and became Emmanuel, verse 14, so that you will understand why it is easy for God to forgive us. For as much then as his children, the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, he, God also, of creation. He also himself likewise took parts of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Verse 16, I'm reading up to verse 18. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Finally, verse 18. For in that is my emphasis, he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That is why he is our advocate. Hallelujah. Each time a true seed of God that truly repents and regrets your wretched nature, sinful, lifestyle, you decide to come back like the prodigal son. When you come before the throne of grace, the blood of Jesus will speak for you. He's our advocate. What is he telling the Father? He is telling the Father, hallelujah, this is the reason. Papa, you are in the spirit. You don't know what thing these people wait there for flesh. They suffer in the hand of Satan. Papa, you never feel hungry before. You don't know what hunger feel make person do. You don't know what frustration feel make person do. But now that he has repented, my blood is still speaking for you. And the Father will forgive you. The blood will speak for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it is only for those who have identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through water baptism. You are buried with him, you die, you repent, you are buried with him as he was buried. You also have the hope of resurrection. That is why water baptism must be by immersion. If you are sprinkled, go back and rebaptize. And it is after that that now God now sees that you have no power of your own to stop committing sin. Then he gives you the power to conquer sin. And that power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When God himself comes to dwell in you. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Can we read it? Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. See the way he put it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you. Apostle Paul said, for the life that I live, it's no longer I that live. Praise the Lord. But God that liveth in me. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old lifestyle is passed away by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it must be in a name. And that name is the name of the Father according to Matthew 28 verse 19. Correct water baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is to bring you to the water. When you confess Christ, the minister will baptize you according to Matthew 28 verse 19. We put you inside the water. The water must cover you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that name Jesus, according to the Bible, is the name of the Father, is the name of the Son, is the name of the Holy Ghost. Catch it. I didn't say Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Ghost. I didn't say so. I said that name, Jesus, is the name of the Father. It's also the name of the Son. And it is also the name of the Holy Ghost according to the Bible. That's why I preach a message that I titled The Name Jesus and the Man Jesus. So that you'll understand the difference. So when he said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, it means the Father has a name. And of the Son has a name. And the Holy Ghost has a name. And the name of the Father, he gave to the Son. And according to the Bible, the Holy Ghost is coming in the name of the Son. Because that name, Jesus, is the name of God for redemption. Praise the Lord. If you baptize, they just carry you inside the water and baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and put you inside water and bring you out. You have not yet baptized in that name. Name is different from title. Father is title. It's different from name. And every baptism in the Bible was done. I mean in the New Testament church. It's done according to the New Testament Bible. Is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we are here every Tuesday because we know that most of the churches, they have not caught this revelation because of their Trinitarian doctrine. And the people therefore are not given the opportunity for their sins to be remitted. And then they live a struggling Christian life because the power to defeat that Satan is not there. For the accuser of the brethren knows correct water baptism. Satan knows correct water baptism. Satan is a spiritual lawyer. That's why you need another lawyer, the advocate Jesus, to counter him. Praise the Lord.